You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in.
Dude, you know last week when it was the really long one?
Yeah.
I timed it. I was like, that had to have been at least 16 seconds. It was 16 seconds.
That's pretty fire. This week, I decided to just go for the quick one.
Yeah. No, you gotta keep them guessing.
What is going on? I'm canceled. It was like very like casual type of thing. Happy to be here with you guys today. You know what I'm not happy about? I don't really know, to be honest with you. I'm pretty happy. Like I'm generally like a pretty happy person.
I was waiting to find out, but yeah.
I was trying to think of something I'm not happy with. I mean, my biggest like thing that I'm not happy about is like maybe just that like I'm still upset about the Knicks maybe a little bit, but other than that, life is pretty good, man.
Amen. I'm slightly upset that it might rain on Saturday and we might not get to golf.
Yeah, I had a really good day the other day for someone that's like good, like they would probably be like, oh, that was a terrible day, but. I'm going to break 100 next year. I think that's a fair goal.
I think you could get it done before this season's over.
You're usually considered to be a pretty good golfer if you can break 100.
I think you could do it at least once. Like, there's a bunch of months left.
That's true.
We're going to be golfing like...
Twice a week.
Yeah, but we're going to be golfing until like probably October.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, this has no bearing on anything for the podcast. I got you with this one.
Okay.
It is time to rate that. Arizona?
But really, it's a Snapple because I kind of messed up. Here's what happened.
You sound like Sean.
I was trying to find a new place to find a different Arizona that we haven't tried yet. And I went to a gas station that I haven't gotten Arizona yet from, and they had like two flavors and both of them we already tried. But then they had, do you know how Arizona has ones like these?
Yeah.
And they had it right next to the Arizonas, and then this was right next to those Arizonas. And so in my mind, when I picked this up and driving all the way here and bringing it inside, this was an Arizona the entire time. And then he got in and he was like, oh, like you got a Snapple. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's just not in Arizona.
So before Ben liked Arizona, Ben, you used to have Snapple in your car.
In the car?
It was your mom's car, though.
We were a Snapple family.
Yeah, I remember you used to just, like, yank one out of, like, the trunk, and, like, I was just like...
Sounds great.
Snapple.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm disappointed that you got this flavor
or this thing.
It's good. Let's try it. I'm not going to make my comments right now.
I haven't
had it in a long time, so I kind of just want to do it. Okay.
This is kind of just...
Snap, crackle, pop.
Oh, that's good. Are we going to switch up rate that?
I don't know. I feel like we probably are because there's not many more left.
No. If you have a suggestion...
Yeah,
like
let
a
us
good
know.
Suggestion.
Yeah, like don't do like, I think Daniel Baxter did like.
Protein bars.
I thought he said like Jamaican beef patties or something like that.
Oh.
Maybe he did say protein bars. Maybe
somebody said protein bars.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't.
Which isn't bad.
I'm gonna
get
a little sniffing. All right, here we go. Yeah, it's just like I remember.
It's just like a liquid apple. It's like you're biting into an apple.
I let you say it.
I don't know how they do it.
You know why I let you say it?
Why?
You were the one who said it to me. Ben tried a Snapple apple in high school and was like, yo, have you ever had Snapple apple? And I was like, no, I've never had apple Snapple.
Ooh, reverse.
Apple Snapple, Snapple
and
apple.
He goes, and he was like, oh, you never had it? He was like, dude, you got to try it. It tastes like you're biting into an apple. And so I went and I got it. And I was like, there's no way this tastes like you're biting into an apple. I took a sip of it. It tastes like you're biting into an apple. Legitimately.
Yeah. I don't know how they did it, but they did it.
You know, can I see the ingredients real quick?
Yeah, it's there's some pear juice concentrate in there. So take that for what it is, I guess. But
hats off to Snapple. There's nothing like crazy in here. Mm-hmm. It's
the
just
best stuff on earth. Is that still their tagline? Made from the best stuff on earth, right? I think that's what it used to be.
It used to be.
I miss when it was in glass.
Oh, wait, do they not sell it in glass anymore?
No.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just water, sugar, apple, and pear juice concentrate. Ooh. Oh, never mind. Citric acid's not the best.
I don't know what that is, but it's in everything.
Vegetable and fruit concentrates. You know what I saw that really got me mad today?
What?
I saw a photo of a UK Fanta versus an America Fanta. And the UK Fanta looked more like orange juice, and ours just looks like this dark orange-like thing. Yeah. And they don't use corn syrup in the UK. They flavor it with orange juice and like some other stuff too that they like, and they don't use any dyes in the UK. And I'm
sounds
like,
nice.
Just like
lucky
why?
Them.
I know, for real.
Yeah.
They're slowly trying to kill us.
Yeah.
Like it's, why allow that? Like why?
Why?
I don't know.
What's the, why?
I don't know.
Like they make money off of it?
Is it like cheaper to buy and produce?
But like they're adding something to it. Maybe it prolongs the shelf life.
To be honest with you, I would love to, if I had the resources and time, to be able to start a company that made all the same stuff, but just their own brand and healthy.
Yeah.
Or like not even healthy.
Just without
better ingredients.
Yeah, just without all the nonsense that you don't need.
Right. Like, there's no reason why I need to have coffee creamer that has vegetable oil in it.
Yeah, the thing is, though, is that if you started this hypothetical company and it were more expensive, people wouldn't buy it because they don't care.
I feel like you can do it.
America doesn't care.
Here's the thing. Companies that charge more, like organic companies, I don't think they're charging more because they are trying to make their money back. I think they're charging more because they're trying to turn a more significant profit. If you charge the same as a company and just like only made like 50% or 50 cent profit on each thing that you sold, you would sell more product and produce more funds than if you're making $3 on each thing because more people are going to buy it. So it's like, I feel as though the United States honestly should ban these types of things because it is a hazard to our health.
I would love it, but they won't. I feel like the vast majority of Americans, when they go to the grocery store, don't
have any health conscience.
Don't look at nutrition facts once.
When I go to the store, I almost look at the back of everything these days.
Yeah, no, you really should because like you can get an iced tea that is more like this where there's not as much bad stuff in
right.
it versus, and like, you know, if you don't care, you might just pick up another one and it has like everything bad in it.
To be honest with you, right? And also like, why do you sell, like this also is not okay. Why are you selling a bottle of iced tea or whatever this is juice. Supposed to be, juice,
yeah.
this big? And then you're marketing it as only 100 calories, but it's 4 servings.
Right. I mean,
it's 400 calories. That's yeah. really what it is. And it has over 80 grams of sugar for this entire thing.
That's the thing though. Nobody even looks. And like you
I do.
Even like, well, yeah. But like they even almost like try to camouflage it a little bit.
They
so
do.
So that like, you know, you just glance at it. You like, you don't really see it very well.
100%. I look at everything. I am a big supporter.
Right. I'm saying generally.
No, I understand. I'm going to throw this out there. I am a huge supporter of Dave's Killer Bread. Huge supporter. I buy their bagels. I buy their bread. I buy whatever Dave's makes because their ingredients are quality and the calories are like lower and it's just good. I'm a big supporter in Dave's. And I'm a big supporter in 647 bread. Like, I'm not going to buy white bread. White bread is way more calories, way more unhealthy. And Dave's makes white bread that's actually good for you. big supporter of Dave's. I make my French toast with Dave's Killer Bread, and guess what? I don't have to feel bad about eating French toast because it's just eggs, cinnamon, and bread. And then if I don't, put too much syrup on it, and like real syrup, not the high fructose corn syrup stuff, if I just put a little bit on, like a little bit, it's not too much calorically, and I have like a fairly healthy thing that I'm eating right there. Thoughts?
Could have been a sermon clip.
I know.
Sponsor the podcast, Dave.
Dave's, I love you. I go through a loaf of Dave's Killer Bread every single week.
It's good. And no, I'm there. Like, I'm 100% there. It's better. Why would you get, you know, the other thing? You're going to spend a little bit less money, but you're going to, you know, not be poisoning yourself. Slowly.
Absolutely. It's like, it's not even like crazy expensive Dave's either. Yeah. Like, it's a little more. Anyway, this has no bearing on what we're doing right now, but I hope that just made you like, look at the back of stuff. Like,
yeah, that's a good call. Take that away from this. Rate that. Look at the back of stuff. Don't get stuff with red 40, yellow 5. Try to avoid the stuff that is very hard to pronounce.
Yeah, that's a great look. Like, to be honest with you, it's unavoidable that you're going to have some of this stuff sometimes,
because
right?
Of the country.
Just because of the country. But like, at the same time, like, I'm super happy with like eating just real stuff. I mean, I eat some meat.
Amen.
Eat some meat.
Amen.
Like, don't eat plant-based meat. Plant-based meat is terrible for you.
Yeah.
It is the stuff that, like, Lenny and Larry's is not really, like, good for you. I don't know if you've looked at it.
I don't eat a whole lot of that stuff.
At least, actually, that's my opinion. That's my opinion. It's very plant-based.
Sorry, Lenny.
And it's like, well, I don't want them to, like, sue me because, like, I said that. But, like, in my opinion...
They're probably not.
They're probably not, but like, in my opinion, it's not very healthy because it's made from just like a lot of stuff that's like not good for you. Ultimately, a lot of oils and stuff like that, from my understanding. But like the pretzels that I had the other day, like, yeah. I don't know if they were super like healthy or not, like in terms of ingredients, but anyway, this was a super long rate that we didn't even rate it. I have a rating for it.
I do too.
3, 2, 1, 9.
9.5.
Yeah.
It's extremely accurate. It tastes good. Doesn't have bad stuff in it. It's, you know, phenomenal. Good job, yeah. Snapple.
There's really not much to complain about. The only thing that, because we were just on a health kick, I couldn't get over the fact that it was 400 calories for the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, we try to tune that out when we're rating stuff.
You're right. It should be a 9.5.
But it's okay.
I just feel like we should be... Never mind. I'm going to stop talking about this because I could carry on about this for a long time. I have very strong feelings about what
about
we are...
About your health?
About my health.
As you should.
Yeah. I really try to do my best to like at least be somewhat conscious of what I'm doing. Doesn't mean that I always eat perfectly. In fact, I don't. But I... Throughout the week, I eat healthy and nourishing dinners. Like, my wife and I make, like, super healthy cookies every single week. Well, I should say my wife does. She'll use, like, banana and, like, oats and, like, some maple syrup. Like, some, like regular maple syrup. Not like the bad stuff. And some chocolate chips. And she'll make some cookies. And they're great. And they're not, like, healthy calorically necessarily all the time. They're, like, 110 calories a cookie or something like that, which is not terrible. Mm-hmm. And... They're all real ingredients. And then she makes pumpkin cookies sometimes too, which pumpkin is super low calorie and has nutrients and stuff like that. And she makes them the same way. And it's really good. And it's better than having a 300 calorie chocolate chip cookie that has a bunch of bad stuff in it for you.
You know what I've learned from just like whatever I've learned from just people is people don't eat healthy because of two things primarily. It's cost and time.
Yeah, correct.
That's really it. But it's worth the cost and the time.
If I was the president of the United States, I would crack down on the food industry. I really would. I would argue that the things that are in our food are inhumane. is what I would argue. I think people say, well, you can't legislate that. I think you can if it's killing people and you have clear research history that shows the correlation between things that are not good for us and stuff.
I'd be interested.
Or give like a tax break to a company that starts that like doesn't use certain ingredients or whatever. I bet you that companies would be more apt to do that if they got a tax break.
Yeah, I'd be interested in the law side of it.
Yeah, anyway, longest rate that ever. Watch out for your health, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. Anyway, a little sneaky surprise.
What's up, Uncanceled? I am the little sneaky surprise. Hi. Pastor Joey asked me to do the rest of the podcast. He's got some other extremely important stuff to attend to. Not that the podcast isn't important. You love it. I love it. Everybody loves it. At least I hope so. But extremely thankful for Pastor Joey and excited to share what the Lord put on my heart to share, something that's just been on my mind a lot and something that the Lord has challenged me with recently in my life. And that is to fully agree with the Bible, to fully agree with the Bible completely and not be double-minded, to fully agree with the Bible and not be double-minded. We're coming up on Heat Wave next week at Impact. And this is like, Pastor Joey said this the other night. He was like, this is like our Christmas. This is the biggest thing that we do all year. And I'm so excited. So excited for what God is going to do in my life. I'm so excited to see what God does in the lives of everyone that comes. And in this youth group, if you are in the area, we have a revival meeting next week, Monday through Friday, with day services on Thursday and Friday. All the information is on our Instagram and on our website, on Faith Church's website. But Heat Wave's going to be amazing. And so if you are an Impact student, especially watching this, but just if you're a Christian watching this and you have been, you know, or are believing God for something in your life, something that the Bible says is yours, I want to encourage you to fully agree with it, to fully agree with it completely, not just part way, not just part time. That's like a good way to put it. Don't just agree with the Bible part time, but agree with the Bible full time. Make it a full time thing for you, not a part time thing. Fully agree with the Bible. A lot of times people are believing God for something in their life. It can be, you know, any area, financial, physical, in their family, in their mind, whatever the case may be. Believing God for a job, believing God for a family member to be saved, anything, you know, finances, whatever. Believing God for something, and sometimes Christians don't see that thing come into fruition in their lives. Why is that? Is it because God's failed? Is it because God and his word has not proved faithful or not proved true? This is a tough pill to swallow, but the answer is no, absolutely not. Anytime that something that the Bible says that you can have an experience doesn't come to pass in your life, anytime that it's not come to pass in my life, it has not been and it is not God's fault or God's doing. It's not the Bible's fault that something that I'm believing God for hasn't come to pass. And it's a tough pill to swallow, but it causes us to look inward and see, all right, what do I need to do differently? What am I doing that's like keeping me from receiving what the Bible has for me to receive? Because the reality is that this book is true. This book is authoritative. This book is inspired of God. It's alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. This book is powerful, and God is extremely faithful, completely faithful to his word. He's never once failed it. It's never once failed to come to pass for the person who believes it full of faith. All of God's promises are yes and amen. The Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. All the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it's through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 10 through 11, or in verse 11, God says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish what I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it." The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:12 that God watches over his word, waiting to perform it. The Bible never fails. The Bible is always true. It says in Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. There is no changing this word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God remains forever. And this word is always reliable. Always, always reliable. If you put your faith on something that the Bible says that you can have, a promise that God's made for to you as someone who has covenant relationship with him, you can take that thing to the bank, but it requires a full-time, complete agreement with the Bible that what you're believing God for is going to come to pass. And I think that that is the area where a lot of Christians lose it, where a lot of Christians don't end up seeing the thing that God has promised them is going to come to pass, where they don't end up seeing it come to pass because it's a part-time commitment or it's a, you know, a partial belief. But we need to be full of faith. Let me read you this text in James chapter 1, verse number 5. The Bible says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God." So this here is talking about wisdom, but we know from Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, "Ask and it will be given to you." So this right here is specifically talking about wisdom, but we can apply it to other areas where the Bible promises the children of God things, those who have covenant relationship with God, whatever, finances, you know, freedom in your mind, healing in your body, whatever the case may be. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." But, so right there, hold on, let me stop, because this is something too that we get mixed up. I had a student last night in my small group, awesome, awesome guy. He asked me a question, and he is newly saved, and he asked me a question that I think a lot of Christians, like, I would venture to say a lot of Christians would have like the same kind of question. We were talking about having an expectancy for heat wave and believing God to do something and being hungry to see God move in your life. And he asked, "Can I ask God for more than one thing?" He said, "Can I ask God for more than one thing?" He's newly saved. He's an awesome young man. But he said, "Can I ask God for more than one thing?" And I said, "Yes, absolutely." I think that that goes against a lot of religious mindsets that, oh no, you can't ask God for too much. You don't want to bother God. You know, sometimes God says yes and sometimes God says no. That's not what the Bible teaches and that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God is a good father and every good and perfect gift comes down from him in James chapter 1. But the Bible also says this in Matthew chapter 7. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you." Ask and it will be given to you. James 1 chapter 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." A lot of Christians don't believe that. A lot of Christians, and I don't mean to, you know, come at anybody or come at, like, if you've not received something that you've been believing God for, this, I want this to serve as an encouragement that you can, if the Bible says it, you can have it. All that's required is your faith. All that's required is that you really believe it, full-heartedly, completely believe it, and you will receive the thing. That's it. The Bible says, "Ask and it will be given to you." There have been a lot of times in my life where I've been believing God for something, and I know what the Bible says, and in my heart, I believe that it's true, but I have to overcome things that we'll see in a little bit that can keep me from walking in that thing that I'm believing God for in my life. But ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given to you. That it's not ask and it might be given to you. It doesn't say ask and, you know, maybe depending on how God is feeling that particular day, it'll be given to you. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's one of the things that I love the most about the Lord is that he is consistent. He's always reliable. He is the same. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. That scripture in James chapter 1, 17, I think, says. But if you ask God for something that's in the Bible and you have faith, you will receive it. Amen. James 1, 5, let me continue. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith." Faith is the only prerequisite to receiving everything that God's promised that you can have in your life. Faith. Believe in God completely, fully agreeing with what the Bible says and not being double-minded, not doubting. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We have to, when there's something that you find in the Bible, a promise that God gives to you, peace in your mind, you know, freedom in your mind, prosperity, finances, that God will take care of you, that you'll be the lender and never the borrower, that you'll, you know, you're believing God for a house, you're believing God for whatever, you're believing God for healing in your body, something that Jesus paid a high price for. When you find it in the Bible, the only prerequisite for you receiving that thing is faith. Be full of faith. Don't be double-minded. Don't be double-minded in holding on to and holding on for the thing that God has promised you in his word that is for you. You will receive it. All that we have to do is believe it. Believe it, believe it, believe it. And this is where we get messed up a lot of times as believers and as Christians, is because there are instances where what we're believing God for doesn't happen instantaneously. We might be believing God for something. You know, you're believing God for something. I don't know what it is, whatever it is. You're believing God for something. And maybe you've been believing God for a long time and you feel like I have fully agreed with the Bible. I have put my faith on it, and I do believe that God wants to give it to me. But why haven't I seen it in happen in my life? It will. We have to continue. We have to persevere, and we have to not grow weary in well-doing. The Bible says that in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. There is sometimes a perseverance, sometimes a pressing on and a pressing through. That's the theme for Impact this year. Press on. Go after the thing that God's promised that you will receive in your life, even if there's been time in between believing God for it and you know, it hasn't taken place yet. Keep pressing on. Keep believing God that what he's promised in his word will come to pass. It's too faithful to not come to pass. The Bible says this in Psalm 119, verse 40. I love this scripture. It says, "Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it." I love that scripture because I went to school for criminal justice stuff, and I have an interest in, like, you know, law and things like that. And so when I think of this scripture, I think of like a court of law, and the Bible is almost like on trial, so to speak. And the promises of God are going through to see if they're faithful, if they're going to do what the Bible says that they're going to do. And every single time, the Bible proves faithful. Every single time, the Bible proves true. The promises of God are well tried. You can receive anything and everything that the Bible promises for you. All that it takes is faith. The Bible says this in Mark 9:23. All things are possible for one who believes. All things are possible for one who believes. Fully agree with the Bible and don't be double-minded. What does it look like to be double-minded? A couple different ways. First, don't be double-minded in your heart. Don't be double-minded in your heart. And this is really where it starts, and this is really where it ends in a lot of ways. Don't be double-minded in your heart, where, you know, you're in church, but, you know, and the Bible's being preached, and the preacher's talking about how you can be healed in your physical body, and you need healing in your physical body, but, you know, you're you know, in service and you're paying attention and stuff, and you're just like, yeah, it's nice, but I know that it's not really real, or I know that it's not really for me. If you are actively opposed to the things of God, you're not going to receive the things that God has for you. If in your heart you don't believe that what the Bible says is for you and that you can receive it, then you're not going to receive it. The Bible says in Mark 9:23, anything is possible for him that believes. Don't be double-minded in your heart where you've closed yourself off to the promises of God because of circumstances or because of anything else. Keep believing and have a heart that's open to receive everything that God has for you. If your heart's closed off, you're not going to receive anything from the Lord. And this is a place where where a lot of Christians can get to, and just a lot of people can get to, where because of circumstances or because of, you know, mostly circumstances, but feelings or emotions or whatever that people put too much stock into, they close their hearts off. They close their hearts off to the things of God. And they, in doing so, close themselves off from receiving what God has for them, what God wants to give them. God wants to heal your body. God, in matter of fact, God already has paid for your physical healing. Jesus paid a high price for it. God wants to bless you. God wants to pour out all of his goodness on you. He does. All we have to do is have an open heart to receive it. We have to have an open heart to receive it. Don't be double-minded in your heart. I was reading in Chronicles chapter 25. I have to find it. Here it is. Chronicles chapter 25, and it was talking about the different kings in Judah. And this king really, this scripture about this king really stuck out to me. Chronicles chapter 25, verse number 1. It says, Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. And if you go on to read the rest of the chapter about his reign in Judah, he did some good things for the Lord, but he also fell away and did some things that were not right and not honoring to the Lord. Why? Because his heart wasn't fully committed to the Lord. God is concerned with the heart. God wants your heart. God wants your full heart that is committed to him. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that the eyes of the Lord search to and fro, looking for those whose hearts is fully committed to him, that he may strengthen them. God wants your heart. God is concerned with your heart, because ultimately, if your heart is right, and if you have a heart that's fully committed to the Lord, if your heart is fully agreeing with the Bible, then everything else will take care of itself. It will start to impact every other area of your life. The Bible says this in Proverbs 27:19. As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man. So the heart of man reflects the man. Your heart will tell on you, so to speak. What you believe in your heart will manifest in your life. By your thoughts, it'll manifest by your actions, it'll manifest by the words that you say. What you believe in your heart is gonna portray itself in your life. Fully agree with the Bible in your heart. Have a heart that's open to the things of God. Have a heart that really believes and really wants to see everything that God has promised you in his word is for you. Don't be double-minded in your heart. How else can we sometimes be double-minded? Because the reality is, a lot, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are that you're not double-minded in your heart, where you've extremely closed yourself off to God and the things of God. So how else can we be double-minded in our lives, and how else should we not be double-minded in our lives? Don't be double-minded in thought. Don't be double-minded in thought. This was really an area where the Lord challenged me with, is we have to take every thought captive. That's what the Bible says. We have to take every thought captive that sets itself up against Christ. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. When you're believing God for something, maybe you're watching this and you are believing God for something, which I'd encourage you, believe God for something in your life. God wants to do it. God's a good father. He wants to bless you. So you're believing God for something, and you hear the Bible preached about whatever, how God wants to heal your physical body. You hear what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, how God has paid a high price for your physical body to be healed, and he wants to do it for you. He wants you to receive it. And you're like, yeah, like I believe that. I'm there. And then thoughts start to creep in. Thoughts start to creep in that set itself up against what the Bible says. Oh, you know, you'll never be healed. You're gonna deal with this thing forever. Oh, you know, maybe one day, you know, in heaven, maybe one day you'll be free from this thing. Or, you know, maybe after a lot of doctor's visits and a lot of medication or whatever, you're going to finally be free from this thing. Take every thought captive. There are thoughts that we have to take captive as Christians. There are thoughts that we have to take captive as Christians. You have authority over your mind. You have authority. We have authority over the thoughts that we choose to think on. I don't remember who said it first or who I heard it from first, but somebody that was preaching said this, and it illustrates this so well. You can't help a thought from coming into your mind the same way that you can't help a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep the bird from building a nest in your hair. In the same way, you can keep a thought from being rooted in your mind. You can cast every thought aside. Take every thought captive that sets itself up against Christ. You're believing God for healing in your physical body, and you start to think, oh, I don't know if it's really going to happen for me. Take that thought captive and say, no, Jesus paid a high price for my healing. By his stripes, I am healed. You're believing God for finances in your life, and you're believing God, you know, for this bill to be paid off. And you start to think, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know if this is, if this is really going to take place, and I don't know what's going to happen if I can't pay this bill. Take the thought captive. God, thank you that you supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. We don't have to just let any and every thought take, you know, take our lives and run with it. We have the mind of Christ, the Bible says, and God's given us authority to take every thought captive. And how do we do it? We find what the Bible says and we say it. We find what the Bible says and we choose to think on that. The Bible says this in Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. Don't think about other things that aren't good to think about. Don't let, you know, thoughts of sinfulness, thoughts of just thoughts that set itself up against the Bible, like we're talking about. Don't let those thoughts stay in your mind and just churn in your mind over and over and over. Because if you let it churn in your mind over and over and over, it's going to keep you from being full of faith, believing God for the thing that you're believing him for. And it's going to keep you from having that faith to receive that thing. We have to take thoughts captive. The Bible says this in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. We have to be thinking on the word constantly, thinking on the word constantly. And if a thought pops in that is contrary to the word, then we take it captive and we tell it to get the heck out of here. And then we keep thinking on the word. We keep meditating on the word. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. As you just take in the word more and more and more, faith gets built up in you. And you have the faith to fight off those thoughts that are contrary to the Bible. And you have the faith built up in you to receive the thing that God has for you to experience in your life. Don't be double-minded in your thoughts. Don't be double-minded in your thoughts. Romans 12:2. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. If you're believing God for something at Heatwave, if you're just believing God for something in your life to take place, and a thought comes into your head that is contrary to the promise that you're believing God on, take the thought captive. We have to take thoughts captive as Christians. We can't let any thought just run, you know, rampant in our minds. We have to take those thoughts captive. How else? How else should we not be double-minded? It's very, all of this is very tied together. The heart and the mind are very tied together. And this last one is very tied together. Your mouth. Don't be double-minded by the words you say. Don't be double-minded by your confession. I'll read this to you in John chapter 6. This is the account in John of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And he said, basically, the 5,000 sat down and Jesus said to his disciples, what are we going to do? And Jesus knew what he was going to do, but he said, what are we going to do? And one of his disciples, I think Philip maybe, I don't want to get it wrong. Yeah, Philip. I'll just read it. Verse 5, John 6:5. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. That would be like 200 days worth of working money. it wouldn't be enough for them to get a little. Listen to this. Verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many?" He started out well. Andrew started out well. Jesus was like, "What are we going to do? We need to feed these people." You know, he was asking his disciples, "What are we going to do?" And Andrew started off well. He said, "Well, we have this food, but what is it among so many?" Andrew started off well, but then he let his circumstances get out of his mouth. Even if he's thinking it, don't let it get out of your mouth. When it gets out of your mouth, it begins to root itself deeper and deeper in you. But don't be double-minded by your confession. You're believing God for finances. You're believing God for finances or for a job or whatever. And you stand on the word of God. "Thank you, Father, that you provide all my needs according to your riches and glory." And then you pray and you thank God. And then you turn around and somebody asks you, "How you doing?" And you're just like, "Oh man, I'm broke. Oh, stuff's really rough right now." Double-mindedness. And the Bible says in James 1:5, "Let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded, unstable in all his ways." Don't let your confession nullify what you're believing God for in your heart and what you're focused on. Be fully in agreement with what the Bible says in your heart, in thought, and out of your mouth. Be fully in agreement with what the Bible says. Understand and know that what you're believing God for is going to come to pass. All that we have to do is have faith for it. This story in 2 Kings chapter 7 really puts this into perspective. I'll summarize a lot of it, but I'll read some of it. 2 Kings chapter 7. The context here is that Samaria is in a severe famine, so people don't have food. 2 Kings 7, "But Elisha said, 'Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria.'" Basically, everything was going to be okay. The food was going to go down in price so that people could buy the food and then eat, essentially. But it would have been a miracle. It would have been a miracle. It would have been, you know, like whatever. If somebody said tomorrow, you know, whatever, a gallon of milk is going to be 10 cents or something like that. Very, very cheap so that people could go get it. That was the word of the Lord. That was the word of the Lord. That's what God said was going to happen. Listen to this. 2 Kings 7:2. "Then the captain on whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, 'If the Lord himself should make open the windows of heaven, could this thing be?'" He was basically like, "That there's no way that's going to happen." That's what he said. He said, "If God opened the windows of heaven, that couldn't happen. Even if God opened the windows of heaven, that couldn't happen." That was his confession. That was what was coming out of his mouth, because that's what was in his heart. Elisha said, "You shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it." Great. That's the beginning of 2 Kings 7. And then God works a miracle. And then everything, I'll just read it. Everything happened according to the word of the Lord. Verse 16. "So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king had appointed the captain on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. And the people trampled him in the gate so that he died, as the man of God had said when the king came down to him." What happened? This captain of the guard got exactly what he said. Why? Because the Bible is very, very clear. Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof." Those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Keep a close guard on your mouth. What comes out of your mouth is extremely important and will have a profound impact on what you experience in your life. If you're believing God for something in your life from the Bible, keep your confession. Keep your confession. Even if you're starting to feel like it's never going to come to pass, just lift your hands and say, "Father, I thank you that you're going to do this thing because your word promises it and you're faithful to your word." That action is an action of faith. That action is an action of faith, and that will boost you up to keep believing and keep pressing on to receive the thing that God has for you to receive. It's all faith. The Bible says anything is possible for him who believes. Don't be double-minded. Fully agree with what the Bible says. Fully agree with what the Bible says, and you will have it in your life. If you are full of faith that God's word is true and that you can experience anything and everything that the Bible says that you have to experience, you will experience it because God's word never fails. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:19 that God is not a man that he should lie. Everything that God's promised will come to pass, is faithful to come to pass, because God's not a liar and his word never ever fails. All that we have to do is have faith to believe it and faith to receive it. That's it. If you're going into Heatwave next week, if you're an Impact student or leader watching this, be full of faith. Be fully agreed with what the Bible says. Be fully agreed with what the Bible says. Open your heart to receive the thing. Be hungry for it. Come into services, expect it. Even if you're watching this after Heatwave and you're believing God for something, believe God for it. Have an open heart. If you're, you know, headed into a service, be hungry to receive the thing. Be hungry at all times to receive the thing that God's promised you. Be hungry. Open your heart to receive it. And then think on it. Think on it, think on it, think on it. If there's something in the Bible that you're holding on to, think on that scripture. Think about how wonderful it's going to be when you experience the thing that you're believing God for. And if a thought comes that's contrary to the word of God, take it captive by speaking and thinking on what the Bible says. And then don't be double-minded in your confession. Keep your confession of faith. Just begin to, if you begin to get discouraged that what you're believing for isn't going to take place, the best thing that you can do is encourage yourself in the Lord, like David did. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Just lift your hands and say, Father, I thank you that I'm gonna receive the thing that I'm believing you for. Father, I thank you that your word never fails. Father, I thank you that your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. This word is anointed. This is all you need. This word is anointed. And if you just begin to speak it, if you just begin to believe it in your heart, think on it, speak it out, your faith will be built to a level where you can receive the thing that God has for you to receive. Amen. Amen. Last thing I'll say is that maybe you're listening to this and you're like, you know, great. I need that. Like, I need my faith to be built up to receive the thing that I'm believing God for. Like, I want to believe, I want to be full of faith, but you know, it's difficult. And sometimes it certainly is. Circumstances are real. Faith does not deny reality. Faith deals with reality. And so circumstances are certainly real, but the word of God is a greater power to overtake the current reality that you may be experiencing. But you may be saying and thinking to yourself, like, this is great. Like, I want to have that faith. I want to be completely certain of the thing that I'm believing God for, but it's difficult sometimes. Ask God for help. Ask God to help you be full of faith. Ask God to help you take every thought captive. Ask God to help you, keep watch over your mouth. He will. He absolutely will. Mark 9:23. The context here is that there was a demon-possessed boy and the father brought him to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus, if you can. And this is how Jesus responded. Jesus said to him, if I can, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. That's a great prayer to pray. Father, I want to have full faith. I want to be fully agreed with your word. Would you help me? Would you help me have an open heart? Father, would you help me take control and take every thought captive? Would you help me think on it? Father, would you help me? Would you help me keep my confession of faith? And God will help you. God gives you strength. He wouldn't tell you to have faith in God in Mark chapter 11. He wouldn't tell you to have faith in God if he didn't give you the empowerment to do it. You can have faith. You can be full of faith. You can fully agree with the Bible. And when you fully agree with the Bible, you will experience everything that the Bible has for you to experience, because God's word is true and it never, ever fails. Amen. Amen. I hope that this blessed you. I'll pray for you real quick. But just, I hope that it serves as an encouragement. Fully agree with the Bible. God's word is true. You'll have everything that the Bible promises you to have if you have faith in the Bible, if you fully agree with it. You'll see the thing take place in your life. Amen. Amen. If you're watching this and you're able to, basically if you're not driving, lift your hands to the Lord. I'm just going to pray for you. Father, I thank you that your word is true. I thank you that all the time your word is true and that you never, ever fail. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, I come into agreement with everything that everyone is watching is believing you for. Father, I call it done in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that as your word's gone out, faith has risen to receive everything that the Bible promises. Father, I thank you that each of your children will receive the promises that you've promised them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I hope this blessed you. Grateful to get to do the Bible teaching today. And next week is heat wave. That means we probably won't have a podcast. But hope to see you at heat wave. Impact, it's going to be awesome. If you're coming to heat wave and watching from another church, super excited to see you. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be the best heat wave that we've ever had. Amen. God bless you. Love you. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.